All right, let's go to look through the window of baseball. Yeah. Boy, on Sunday, I love talking to this guy.
Yeah.
Sunday Baseball, brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Good morning. The end of a season. We made it through another one.
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Yeah, well, what a thing, and what a day this is. I mean, there's so many going on, so much going on, so many possibilities. I'm just being torn in all directions. I'm trying to figure out maybe travel plans, but I can't do anything, and it's vintage stretch drive stuff.
Well, the Pirates and Reds Pat are tied up now.
Knotted at one after four, so it's the top of the fifth.
Well, you know, they wanted the second wild card, and it certainly has, you know, developed a crazy race and all that, and this is what baseball lives for. We saw it a couple of years ago going down to the very end. How do you think this one is going to play out today? Because if you're the Pirates, I mean, you got to beat Cueto, who's pretty tough. Then you got, hopefully Wainwright loses and the Cardinals jump in the pool in Arizona.
Yeah.
I haven't been forecasting this stuff very well, but I think I said yesterday I would see the Pirates and the Cardinals both winning today, which would, of course, still be a disappointment for the Pirates, especially if using Cole. But I just I think the Cardinals both of those teams have what it takes in a situation like this, and when it comes to playing the Giants, you know, if it comes to that, really, really tough opponents. But I see the Tigers and the Cardinals both winning today and avoiding all the Monday madness.
What about the other games that we could potentially see? The A's and the Mariners, right? And then the Tigers and the Royals. Either of those catch your attention, Bruce?
Well, yeah. I just did mention the Tigers. I think they're going to prevail and not have to worry about a playoff. But A's, Mariners, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the A's lose again and the Mariners win behind Felix. It's entirely possible. And then I guess I'd be going up to Seattle tomorrow for a one-game playoff, which they'd probably have to have during the day so they can get to wherever they're going after that, you know, for a Tuesday game. The A's, who could have much confidence in them, really? I mean, it's complete. They've got Sonny Gray going, which is very good. And Texas had to scratch Holland. They're pitching Martinez. Who knows? I think he beat Oakland last week, so no way of telling.
Oh, how about – well, Marty wants to – we thought Holland was going to throw, and now they got Martinez going, huh?
Pat, I don't hear myself.
That's what I heard on – that's what I just saw.
Did you turn it on?
On Twitter a little while ago. Holland's got some migraine headaches he's dealing with. He could maybe come in later, but they're going to start Martinez.
Yeah, I was wondering about Holland, Bruce, and they said maybe later on.
Yeah, he could pitch. They'd rather not. He's got pretty severe headaches, so – you know, wouldn't that be funny if Martinez beats the A's and send him into this one game and they don't even survive? And, you know, what would have happened if Holland pitched and there's all this stuff? And, you know, they benched Norris today because Soto has a better chance of throwing guys out. That's how concerned they are about that.
Look at somebody. I mean, Bruce, somebody goes out because of migraine, and I can't judge him on a migraine. I don't know how severe it is. But then on the polar opposite, you have Josh Donaldson out there performing like a hero on one leg.
Boy, that's so true. I mean, he's absolutely setting the tone for anybody playing hurt right now, and he really is hurting. You can just, it hurts to watch him on that left knee. I mean, you know, admittedly for Texas, they've got nothing really going except for the respect for the game itself, the respect to put their best out there against the A's. And you're right. It's I've never had a migraine either, so it's hard for me to really. You know, judge how a guy's feeling with something like that. At their worst, they're really debilitating, so who knows?
Yeah, not good. The room is spinning around.
That's never good.
The only way to, you know, it's not good unless you're an astronaut.
Well, remember Terrell Davis, the running back for the Broncos?
Sure.
He had migraines, and it was debilitating in a big way.
There's no question.
But in the Super Bowl, I think he had to leave against the Packers? Maybe he was able to come back in the second half, or maybe I'm confusing my Super Bowls.
Yeah, the idea of standing out on the mound with that good posture and mound presence with your head spinning around, it's pretty daunting.
Unless you're Doc Ellis.
He kind of preferred it that way.
Yeah, because that's the way. There's a documentary that's coming out, documentary.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about Doc Ellis, Bruce. I'm going to send you the link to it. You're going to enjoy this.
Oh, yeah.
It really is pretty good to watch.
I watched him pitch for many years. I didn't realize how high he really was out there.
Yeah, and, you know, people make, you know, about LSD and pitching the no-hitter for Doc Ellis. He did it against the Padres, I think in 72, something like that, or 70. But his whole life was like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a tragic life, and he eventually died of liver disease, but saw the light, as many people did, and then became a counselor. And people thank him for saving their lives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think pitching on acid really became a trend. I think, you know, any time somebody cleans up like that and talks about their life and how hard it was and how they straightened it out and how they plan to go from here, that's what really matters.
Yeah, it was really a bad story. I mean, when he did, if that story is true, he was supposed to pitch on Tuesday against the Padres, and Monday was an off day. And, of course, Monday he ended up, you know, taking drugs, whatever. And then on Tuesday, he woke up, and they said, "You're pitching today." He says, "No, I'm not. It's still Monday, isn't it?" And he went out and, of course, pitched a no-hitter. But you don't glorify it.
No.
But it is part of the history of baseball. Yeah. Hey, what about, did we talk about Derek Jeter yesterday? I don't know if we did or not.
A little bit, yeah, we did.
So
we did a little bit. I told you that Lou Boudreau, Satchel Paige story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I just wish Jeter had never gone to Boston. Apparently he's a DH today. He's hurting. He's not... 100%, and it just would have been such a perfect farewell. I know they had a bunch of festivities planned for him, and I'm sure he went there to honor that. But it's such an afterthought. Nobody's really going to remember it in the future. I guess they'll remember the Yankee Stadium farewell. But that would have been a hell of a way to say goodbye to the game.
What do you think about a farewell tour?
Another one?
Well, not for him, but for people in general, baseball players in general.
I'm not really for it. I mean, it takes. You know, first of all, you've got to have a guy. He has to be really iconic for one thing. He's got to be somebody that just rises above where everywhere he goes, it's going to be clear that the fans are into it, the other teams into it, and you also have to be sure you're going to retire. I mean, how many guys, say they're going to retire, then come the end of the season? Well, you know what? I think I've got another season in me, for heaven's sake. And what if Jeter decided that, which he's not going to, but. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. You have to be sure he's retiring, and you have to be sure that he's sort of a god among men, you know. But it gets a little tedious. It's nice when it comes to your town. I don't like it in great doses, let's put it that way.
What's wrong with just saying, hey, I enjoyed watching you play? It seems to me more like a marketing opportunity for the player and for the teams.
Yeah, it gives the team, it sells, quite a few extra tickets. It wouldn't be an issue in, you know, the Giants or teams that really do well. But, yeah, it sells a lot more tickets. But I'd much prefer just... something over the PA announcer, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to take a moment to honor Derek Jeter, who's retiring, one of the great players, and a big ovation, and that's kind of it.
Bob Shepard, they needed that pre-recorded by Bob Shepard.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised they didn't think of that.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
That Derek Jeter didn't
Well, you'll probably hear it again when he goes into the hall.
Number two, Derek Jeter.
Number two.
It's great. It's great. Hey, Buster Olney, Pat and I talked about this earlier. Pat, you want to set this up with Bruce?
Well, Bruce, I was watching Outside the Lines this morning, and Buster Olney made the argument, and he had some spine to his argument where he thought that the Yankees prioritized the farewell tour over making the playoffs, and he cited the 144 games Jeter played coming into today's game, and how his batting average and OBP, I mean, just gave statistical evidence, and then how at times Brandon Ryan, I think Ryan, one of the players, infielders, who's one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball, was even over at first base at times so that Jeter could remain out at short, and then it just, there's some evidence in his opinion that says that the Yankees prioritized Jeter's farewell tour.
Well, there definitely is evidence on paper, without a doubt. I mean, the funny thing is, when the season started, the Yankee reporters asked Girardi how he felt about all this, whether it's going to, sidetrack him from his job. And he said, I'm not here to stage a farewell tour, which was, a pretty stark, honest comment. But, in fact, he did bat Jeter second all the way through. He started him most of the way. It's tough. I mean... it's not like Ozzie Smith's ready to take the job, and he's Derek Jeter, for crying out loud. To me, I think batting him second routinely when he was in a huge slump, that's a little out of line. It just, as long as he's in the game, that's cool. But I think, and maybe benching him occasionally, but there was a lot more wrong with the Yankees this year than how they handled Jeter. I mean, that they failed in a lot of fronts, and that's certainly... I don't think that kept him out of the playoffs by any means.
You nailed it, Bruce, and that's precisely what Marty said. Tanaka's injury and Teixeira, where's he been, and that whole deal. And so I would just say that Jeter's career has been defined by playing big in the postseason, and so it's kind of a weird way for him to go out. But who didn't enjoy Thursday night? And I mean, you know, that was movie stuff, so it's hard to get, it's hard to get too hurt about it.
That overrides everything. Whether the farewell tour was tedious or his numbers or anything. I mean, that bass hit to right. That's it. That's what people remember, and that makes it all good for me.
That's the romance of baseball. That's what baseball
really
is. We love it. That's what brings you back.
Yeah,
hey, how do you think this whole thing ends up this week? Tomorrow, Wednesday, Tuesday? What do you envision happening?
Well, I see the A's going to Kansas City for a wild card game without the complication of any Monday stuff. If you had to pin me down, I'd say they get through today without them winning and Seattle losing. I see Lester beating the Royals. Not a good hitting team. If they get a little lead early, that'll be big for Lester, and he can get through that. The Giants will have Bumgarner somewhere. And I like them too. I like the idea of Bumgarner out there. It's funny, you know, they kind of, you know, checked out a lot earlier than some of these other teams. But meanwhile, they're not in this big panic about who to pitch when. I mean, it's very clear. Bumgarner's going to pitch Wednesday, all good, and that's exactly who they want. So I wouldn't go any farther than that, but I see the A's and the Giants both getting through these wild card games on the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's so funny. You know, the second wild card is really to put the wild card team at a detriment because you got to use your best pitcher and all that. You better have a deep staff. But the way it worked out for the Giants, it actually worked out okay.
Because
look at Pittsburgh, likely opponent. They got to use everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's been evident for quite a while that the Giants aren't going to win the division, and then all of a sudden, all right, then we'll just set our focus exactly the way we want it. And you know, teams are killing themselves to win the division right now, and it's a huge thing. But in the meantime, once you get out of the regular season, your A's can't go, you know, for a few days. So really, really bittersweet. Now, if the A's were forced into a Monday nighter tomorrow night in Seattle, they'd have to use Lester.
That's right.
Could be, you know, a whole different story. I don't know who would be pitching if they get through them.
Hamill.
Oh, boy, well, that's not good at all. Although he was good the last time out.
He's been good the last few times. He's been fine.
Yeah, he's been good. So who knows?
All right. Hey, how's your day looking? It's pretty crazy out here already.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're talking about, you know, I want to see how Jeter's doing. I'm following the Raiders, although
he's
that
been
looks
pulled
like
from the game, Bruce. I've gotten a report from our correspondent back at the radio ranch, Big John Wilson, said that they pulled Jeter after the third.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, I hope he got a hit.
He did. Jeter was pulled from the game after a single in the third.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. That's good.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'll just check the tape on that. The Raiders are getting killed, but you know, you got all these. Thank God, I got the Major League package where I can see the Pirates, the Cardinals, the Royals, and the Tigers, and then the A's and Seattle, and meanwhile catching up to the 49ers later. So
if Arizona beats the Cardinals, Alan Trammell, manager of the year.
Yeah, in a runaway. Yeah.
Really? Come on, he's had the best weekend of anyone ever. Really? Crazy. Hey, Bruce, always a pleasure, and I hope we do this again very soon.
I do, too. That would be great, guys.
All right. Have a good day.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Bruce Jenkins.